Welcome to Understanding Your Bible. We're glad that you tuned in today, and I hope that the broadcast will be a blessing to you. We've got some information for you today that you need to hear, and I hope that you'll stay tuned throughout the broadcast. At the end of the broadcast, we'll be giving you some information about how you can contact us, either by email, by snail mail, or by telephone. So if you want to get you a pencil and paper and write down those numbers and addresses, we'd be happy to hear from you about the broadcast, and we'll be giving you that information at the end of our broadcast today. The title of our program is Understanding Your Bible, and the reason for that is that we want to give you information every week when we bring these broadcasts that will help you to understand the Word of God. We want you to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Bible is not a book that's hard to understand, that's deep, dark, and mysterious in any way. And we want you to know and understand that you can have a thorough understanding of the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth." And when you rightly divide the Word of truth, it really unlocks the door to the misunderstanding about the Bible. And so today we want to talk to you about some things in regard to the importance of the church you attend. During these broadcasts over the last many weeks, we've talked to you an awful lot about the fact that the Word of God, in order to be understood, must be rightly divided, and that simply means to distinguish between what is written to us versus what is written for us. All of the Bible is written for our learning, reading, and understanding. But not all of the Bible is written directly to us. The Apostle Paul is the Apostle to the Gentiles and says so several times in his epistles. The Apostle Paul was given the gospel of the grace of God. The Apostle Paul was given the dispensation of the grace of God. And the information that we find in Paul's epistles in Romans through Philemon is the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. That doctrine is set in contrast to the doctrine for the nation Israel. And most of the doctrine in your Bible is in regard to the nation Israel. But there are some distinct books that are written specifically to you. And those books are, as I said, Romans through Philemon. Now, it's not only important that you believe this information, but I think it's important as well that you put your support behind those that do believe this. Now, for those of you that listen to this broadcast, you know that we never ask for money. We never ask you to send in a contribution. Not one time have we ever asked you to help us stay on the air. And so this is not about financial support. But I believe it is important that people understand that they have a responsibility as saved people and as Bible believers to make an intelligent decision about the ministry that they're going to support in a very general way. The question I want to ask today, does it matter where you go to church? Does it really matter where you go to church? You know, the Apostle Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, he wrote to the Corinthians and he said, "Be not ye unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." I want you to consider the question today is, does it matter where you go to church? Is it possible that you need to come out from among those that you've been a part of in order to take a proper stand for the Word of God rightly divided? That's what I want you to consider. And this is not an attempt to get you to attend our church or any other church. Rather, I want you to question, I want you to look at and determine if you're supporting the right ministry. And I want to pose just three or four questions today. And, of course, you can go down a whole list of criteria for what would constitute a church that a person should be a part of that is saved and knows the truth. But I want to just present to you three or four things that I think are of the utmost importance. You know, when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, As he concluded that lengthy letter, he gave them some very specific and practical instructions in relation to those that were teaching contrary to the doctrine that he had taught. He said, I beseech you, brethren, mark them. This is in Romans 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So my question for you, as listeners of this broadcast, another broadcast, and particularly those of you that have come to an understanding of the Word of God rightly divided and have embraced that truth, is it time for you to come out from among them and be ye separate? Is it time for you to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and the Bible says avoid them? Now, I want to give you four criteria that I believe that every saved person should consider in relation to the church that they're attending, the church that they're supporting. See, when you support a work, you may say, well, I don't really agree with everything that's taught there. Well, then my question is, why are you there? Why are you there supporting that work if you don't believe what is being taught there? Maybe it's because you have friends there. Maybe it's because you have relatives there. Maybe it's just because that's where you've always gone to church and you feel comfortable there. Is that really the criteria that you ought to use for determining where you go to church? Or should you be going to church somewhere where the Bible is taught, where the Word of God has preeminence, and where you can be established in the faith? That's the question I want to ask. Now, the first thing I want to mention to you is that I want you to consider in your heart and in your mind, does the church that you attend preach the gospel of the grace of God in truth and simplicity? The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he identifies what that gospel is. He said that Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he was raised again the third day. And Romans chapter 4 says he was raised for our justification. So we see that the gospel is a simple statement of facts that Christ died for our sins, that is, he paid for all of them. He was buried, he rose again the third day. And we find that the Apostle Paul says that the power of God to salvation is that gospel. That's why in Ephesians 2:8-9, Paul said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, if your church teaches and preaches that there are any works involved in salvation, then you need to consider the fact that you may need to come out from among that church and be ye separate. Why is that? Because by your attendance, by giving your money, and even just by giving of your time and effort to be a part of that church, you're supporting that the church, the doctrine that is proclaimed in that church. You see, Paul says, as I said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. Now, most everybody will say that they believe salvation is by grace. But I want you to consider the messages that you hear other preachers preach. Do they say salvation is by grace, but you need to be baptized? Do they say salvation is by grace, but you've got to confess your sins in order to get forgiveness for them? Do they say that salvation is by grace, but you need to walk down the aisle, repeat a sinner's prayer, and join the church in order to be saved? You see, any preacher that adds to the truth of the gospel is corrupting the simplicity that's in the gospel. And Paul warned about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, I fear lest by any means that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So there is simplicity in the gospel. And for a preacher to say that a person has to do anything other than simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his work at Calvary to be saved is misleading people. And you don't want to be a part of that. You don't want to support a work that deceives people about salvation. Paul calls it making the gospel of none effect. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 17, he said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." Does your preacher believe that he has been sent to baptize? If he stands up before you and baptizes people in a pool of water, then he is in effect saying he has been sent to baptize. Paul said, "Be ye followers of me." And Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize." I can tell you with all surety that Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Why did Christ send me not to baptize? Because today there's only one baptism, and it's the baptism of 1 Corinthians 12:13. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." When a preacher gets up and baptizes people, he is not following Paul, for the Apostle Paul said, "Christ sent me not to baptize." And yet the Bible instructs us over and over again to be followers of Paul. Paul is our apostle. He was given the gospel of the grace of God, and we're to follow him. And so, not only does Paul say, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel," to preach the gospel not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You see, when a preacher preaches the gospel and then turns right around in that same message and tells you in order to get forgiveness of sins, you've got to confess them, or you've got to forsake them, or anything else like that, he is corrupting the gospel. He is making it of none effect. The issue today with your sin is not that you're trying to get forgiveness of your sin. Your sins are already forgiven. The Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing your trespasses. The Bible says in Colossians 2:13, "He hath forgiven you all trespasses." Your sin issue was taken care of at Calvary some 2,000 years ago. And the issue today is belief. You either believe the gospel, or you believe that you in your flesh have some ability to make yourself acceptable to God, when what the Bible says that he has made us accepted in the blood, Ephesians 1:6. And so if you're part of a church that does not present does not make a clear presentation of the gospel in simplicity and truth on a regular basis, then you need to question, why are you a part of that church? Why would you be part of a church where people can come and listen and hear and end up confused about being saved, when there are churches that clearly proclaim the gospel of the grace of God and the gospel of Christ? The second thing I want to mention to you is, if your church is preaching a doctrine that says your blessings are people's blessings today are based on their works or their performance, you need to question, why be a part of that church? What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that in Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, that statement indicates very strongly that our blessings are not determined by our performance. You see, the law of the Old Testament, the law of Moses, was what we call a performance system. It was a system that God says, if you will do this, then I will do this. If you will perform, if you will keep the law, if you'll keep my statutes and my judgments, then you will receive certain blessings. And the problem today is that same doctrine has carried over to the church and is being taught as church doctrine today, when in reality it is not church doctrine at all. It had to do with a law system, a performance system, that was always based on the word "if." If you will do this, then I will do this. I'll do my part. But Paul says that God hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I can't tell you how many times I've heard preachers talk about the fact that if you will give your money, then God will return that in different ways. You'll be blessed in certain ways if you'll give your money. Now, I believe in giving your money. But when you go back to Malachi chapter 3 and tell people to bring all the tithes into the storehouse that they might have blessings poured out from God to the extent they won't be able to accept them, you're absolutely telling people a lie. Because that is not doctrine for the church. There's nowhere in the New Testament that you can find the doctrine of tithing. You can find the doctrine of giving. Paul said God loves a cheerful giver. As a man purposes in the heart, so let him give. But to teach people that there is a blessing connected with them tithing is being deceptive. And preachers do that because they want people's money. They want the offerings. People give their money, or should give their money, out of a love of Christ, the love for Christ, and the love for the ministry and so forth, not out of an expectation that God's going to give them a blessing as a result of them giving their money. You see, the reason today that the prosperity gospel is so popular is because it's a gimme, gimme, gimme type system. People give to these TV preachers and these evangelists and these charlatans, if you will, who say that if you'll give your money, then God will bless you. And then when he doesn't, they say, well, you just don't have enough faith. I know of a man personally out in Texas that gave to one of these ministries. And he was told specifically that if he would give a certain amount of money, that God would multiply that, and in a certain amount of time he would receive that much money back plus extra. And so he, in his ignorance, gave of that money. And nothing happened. And so he contacted those people, and they told him that he didn't have enough faith, he needed to give some more money. You see, folks, none of that is in accordance with the Word of God rightly divided. Paul tells us about how we ought to give in Romans 3, Philemon. He says we ought to give for the needs of others, we ought to give cheerfully, and we ought to give as we purpose in our heart. But there is not a spiritual blessing attached to that giving. Yes, the Bible says God shall supply all of our need according to his riches in glory. But you notice there that the word is need, not our wants. God has not promised to give you cars and boats and automobiles and houses and those kind of things as a result of what you give to the ministry. He has promised you all spiritual blessings. He says you have all of them. And if you're saved today, listen to me. If you're saved, whether you go to church or don't go to church is not the issue. Whether you give your money or don't give your money is not the issue. Whether you serve the church in some capacity is not the issue. Your blessings are determined upon by your position in Christ Jesus. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And notice that it says in Christ. It's like verse 6 that I used a moment ago. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted, where? In the beloved. Listen, folks, all that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been accepted, we've been redeemed, we've been justified, we've been forgiven, we've been reconciled. And you can just go on and on and on with the blessings that we have by being in Christ. As a matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul said, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Did you notice there that Paul did not say, he lists all those things that they were. He said that you were thieves or covetous and drunkards. And he didn't say up there in verse 11 that you have changed these things. He says, such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. How? In the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, number one, you are baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. You become one with Christ, and you have all the spiritual blessings that are available to the members of the church, the body of Christ. They are not based on performance. They're based on your position in Christ. Now, there's another thing that you need to consider about your church teaching, and that is, does your church teach that when a person gets saved, that they are complete in Christ? Or do they do like many and say, now you're saved, but to be complete in Christ, you've got to grow in grace and so forth? I saw the statement of a church not long ago on the internet, and that church said in their statement that their ministry was to bring all people to be complete in Christ. Well, notice what Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says. The Bible says, and ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. You see, that completeness has to do with that new creature that we were made in Christ Jesus. We've been made unto him. Righteousness, justified, sanctified, all of those things we have in Christ. We're in Christ by faith. The moment we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are placed into his body. And the Bible says we're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And because of that, we're one with Christ and we're complete in Christ. And because we're complete in Christ, there is nothing that can add to our salvation. Water baptism can't make your salvation any better than it is the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Taking the Lord's Supper can't make your salvation any better and any more complete than it is the moment you trust Christ as your Savior. Joining the church can't make your salvation any better and any more complete than it is the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen, folks, get the picture. You're complete in Christ. And if your church is teaching otherwise, you need to consider whether you need to follow the admonition of the Apostle Paul and say, and come out from among them and be ye separate, and touch not the unclean thing, that unclean doctrine, that dirty doctrine, that filthy doctrine that is teaching people that they've got to work for salvation, they've got to perform in order to be blessed, and they've got to do certain things in order to be complete in Christ. None of those things are true. Now, there's one last thing I want to mention before we close out the broadcast today. We started out with a question, does it matter where you go to church? I want to ask you to consider today, what is it that your church requires for church membership? You go down to a local church, and you walk down to the front at the end of the service, as in most churches they give an invitation. And you tell that pastor you want to be part of that church. What are they going to ask you? Well, they may ask you if you're saved. You say, yeah, I'm saved. But more than likely, the next thing they're going to ask you is, have you ever been baptized? Say, no, I've never been baptized, but I want to be part of your church. You know what the response is going to be in 99% of the churches? It's going to be, no, you can't be part of this church unless you've been baptized, either sprinkled or immersed. Now listen, that same preacher that will tell you that you've got to be baptized in water in order to be part of that church, more than likely will also tell you that baptism has nothing to do with your salvation. Now, some will. There are some denominations out there that say that water baptism is absolutely necessary for salvation. But I'm talking about what we call fundamental, independent, Bible-believing churches that say that you're saved by grace through faith. But to be part of their local church, you've got to be baptized in water. Do you know what they're saying when they say that? They're saying very plainly and explicitly that they require more to be part of their local assembly than God requires to be part of his family. If a preacher tells you you're saved by grace through faith, apart from baptism, apart from anything else, and yet tells you that you've got to be baptized in water to be part of their church, what they're saying, in effect, is we require more to be part of our church than God requires to be part of his church. No wonder the Apostle Paul said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Where did all of that stuff come from about having to do this and that to be part of a church? It came through tradition. It came through church covenants. It came through church doctrine, not Bible doctrine. Biblically, all a person should have to do to be part of a local assembly is trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And there should not be the two ordinances that churches talk about as requirements for church membership. Because God doesn't require it for participation in His church or membership in His church. All He requires is faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I would ask you to consider these things as you consider where should you go to church. Should you go to church where they teach that works are required for salvation? Should you go to church where they even imply that works are required for salvation? Should you go to a church that teaches that your blessings are based on what you do rather than what Christ did at Calvary, when the Bible says you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings? Should you go to church where they teach you that there are things you have to do in your flesh? There are things, practices you have to submit to in order to be complete in Christ, when the Bible says you're already complete in Christ? And lastly, should you go to a church that requires more for membership than God requires to be part of the body of Christ, to be part of His family? I think if you honestly believe the Bible, and particularly if you believe it rightly divided, you'll have to agree that it is important that you attend a church and support a church that preaches and teaches the same doctrine that you believe. Don't stay in a church simply because you have friends there, because you enjoy the music, you enjoy the entertainment value. You can get all that somewhere else. Find you a church that preaches and teaches the Word of God rightly divided, that stands for the King James Bible as the Word of God, and preaches salvation by grace through faith. I can assure you that is God's will for you as a saved individual. I hope that you'll consider these things. And I hope that you'll write us this week if you would like to find out more about what we believe or about the broke pro. If you have any questions or comments about the program today, we'd be glad to hear from you. Our address is 3827 Hickson Pike, Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's Grace Bible Church, 3827 Hickson Pike in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Or you can visit our website, www.understandingyourbible.com, all one word, understandingyourbible.com. Or you can visit our, or you can give us a telephone call at 423-847-0768. I hope that you'll give us a contact if you can, and hope that you'll tune into the broadcast again next week.